activists. And if you look at the members of the task force, how many of them really are? I mean, we have the director of the Homeless Services Center who has done activism in the past, but is he really calling himself an activist on this board? Paul Brindell? No. Tom Nedelsky from the Quakers? Certainly not. Definitely not Peter Eberle from the Downtown Association or Nancy Anacito from the Harvey West community. I mean, it's not really a group of activists.
Well, there are...
I don't see you and Becky on the
no, certainly
task
not.
Force.
Certainly not. Because as I pointed out, it's not a task force. It's more of a task farce. But given the makeup of what it is, the question is, could anything be done with it? And the answer, to me, will really begin to come out on Tuesday. And one of the things I said that I think you clearly need is you need food and you need information going out to the homeless. And you probably need information going out to the groups of people that are... You know, really pressure groups in the city council like SCAN, the group that elected them, Santa Cruz Action Network, like the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which has activists who are, you know, with the Peace and Freedom Party. All
you
these
mean
groups.
They need to know about the meetings, where they are, and
they need to come to the meetings, they need to speak up at the meetings, and actually what we need to use these meetings for are we need to use them as kickoff points for other things. In other words, you might not be able in the actual course of the meeting to do a march to City Hall, you know, an hour later, but you would use the discussion at the meeting and the homeless people attending to organize through. Now, it's actually...
That would be great.
But actually...
But who's going to do that?
Well, I'm hoping that you would have the task force itself stating, we're going to give food to homeless people who come, and we're going to make sure that there's outreach done to make sure that homeless people know about the hot issues that are happening at each meeting. What they ideally need
food,
is...
Food, outreach, and transportation.
Transportation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I'll go ahead and...
try and talk to the people about it who are on the task force.
Okay,
task
now
force
the agenda for this next meeting has already been sent out, so it would have to be the next meeting.
No. You're wrong.
Oh, really?
You're wrong about that. You can fit that in under existing agenda items.
I can?
Sure, or you can ask, or it can be treated as something that is assumed. That is to say, you call Linda LeMaster, who's the chair, and you say to Linda, you know, it seems obvious that part of our charge is to get homeless people to come. Therefore, we'd like to get some food to the meeting. We'd like to get some, you know, and Linda could call up and get people to volunteer food, or she could ask people like myself to help volunteer, and I would probably be happy to help, or Joe Schultz, who's done homeless stuff in the past.
Yeah.
In other words, it could be done, it could be sort of facilitated through that process, and it doesn't have to be done as an agenda item, I don't think.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay, so just call Linda right now.
Right, as long as you're not making some policy statement.
Okay, tell her I'm not calling as a friend, I'm calling as a task force member, even though I don't know if I am one.
Or perhaps a minion of Robert Norris.
I'm calling as a minion of Don Lane's little helper and Robert's crony.
Well, again, the idea here, and although one hopes that on some level Don Lane and even Scott Kennedy would like to see, you know, the kinds of changes that we all propose. Kennedy, after all, for years has claimed he is against... not just the sleeping ban, but as Paul Brindell has stated more openly, against the camping ordinance generally.
Well, and even you know, Mike Rutkin, which had said just about an hour ago, which I was surprised to hear.
Yeah, given that, no, Rutkin is still in favor of the sleeping ban and the camping ordinance.
But you had said something positive about it.
He's in favor of a campground maybe somewhere, somehow, someday, if somebody comes to him with all the details.
Right.
You know, I suppose we should all get excited about that. But the fact is that what we need are people who are in effect active when they reach positions of power, and Lane and Kennedy and all these people have shown themselves not so. So it's not like a personal attack where we say we really don't want, you know, you're not the right person here. It's more just, you know, sorting out apples into the apple barrel and oranges into the orange barrel. And but even I think once this, if a group of activists took the lead here, I think that something could be done. And I think a lot has got to happen outside this committee. This committee is pretty much, you know, again, I think people should come to the Tuesday meeting. Encourage him to vote to end the sleeping ban, which is just a little committee making a little recommendation.
Where is it being held?
It's being held in the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium at 5:30 on September 7th, Tuesday.
Okay, I wonder if other people want to call in.
Let's find out.
And also, before I get off, I wanted to... I called David for the number for free radio before I called you, and he mentioned that... Bob LaMonica, I don't know if you heard about this, had a table down there.
Yes, actually, we've talked about that on the air just today.
Okay.
We spent about an hour and a half on it.
Okay.
Did you want to say something about that?
No, I just heard about it, but I just wanted to...
Yeah, it's quite shocking.
Yeah. So everybody's going to show up at the farmer's market next Wednesday and raise hell?
If they do, I suspect the police just won't even be there. That's their usual approach. You know, they do a stealth sting, and then when everybody comes there, they're not there at all. And then they come back.
You can set up a big table, and it'll be a good...
Oh, yeah. It'll be as normal. I mean, for 5 years, people set up tables, and it'll just be another day at the farmer's market. The question is, how do we, you know, deal with this abuse of power by Howes and possibly by Belcher and Barisoni?
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. And there's that ding-a-ling-a-ling-a phone going ding-a-ling-a-ling-a.
Hey there, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert. This is another Robert calling.
Go ahead, Robert.
Hello, dude. How are you?
I'm good.
Man, I got to tell you, listening to what this woman just had to say and her lack of knowledge just tells me exactly why you're in the position that you're in. It goes on and on and on, the talk and talk and talk. I think people like this are better off staying home taking care of their babies. We really don't need this. She doesn't know this. She doesn't know that. It's a joke. I have Eleanor, who is going to come on the line. I just wanted to make one more comment before I put her on. She's far more intelligent than I. I urged from way back from Sean and all you activists to get your butt together and to use your efforts, which are considerable and very intelligent, to sue the city for this, that, and the other thing. It's just not happening. It's just nothing but complaints and review boards and talking and talking. A lawsuit, many lawsuits, multiple lawsuits, will speak far louder than all these words. This is a city who is adamant. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. I can't believe the things that are going on. I wish that, I mean, I'm busy with a disabled woman fighting the compensation system. I only wish that if I do reach settlement, that I will be able to fight these people, bring multiple lawsuits. That's my advice, and here's Eleanor.
Thank you, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Eleanor.
I had a couple of comments. I was just getting my call into you when the last caller got in, so I had to sit it out. Mm-hmm. And two areas I wanted to comment on. If we can backtrack a little first to the tabling issue with Bob LaMonica.
Sure.
I hope he's listening. I tip my hat to you, Bob. Mm-hmm. In your usual way, you have done it correctly, and I say go for it. And you had an answer, you had a question, what do we do about this? Well, you know my answer is you sue, and it doesn't cost thousands. Law clerks put together briefs. Lawyers don't put together briefs. You get law students, and they'll put it together for you. That's what Bob LaMonica should do, because it's just as you said, you beat them down, and they pop up again. You beat them down, and they pop up again. You gotta sue them. Look what just happened in New York. This black group in Harlem, I don't know if you've heard about it.
Tell me.
Well, I can't remember the guy's name, the leader, Khalib something or other, had the million man youth march last year in Harlem, and they came along with 4,000 riot squads, partitioned off the streets, and did what the usual thing they do.
Giuliani's goon squad,
and then they blocked it for this year. Guess what he did? He sued the city. And they went on this year, and they didn't block off streets, and they didn't turn it into a police riot like they did last year. A simple lawsuit. The city of New York backed down. This city backs down from everything. Name me a single issue that they've stood up on. These people are ripe for the lawsuit.
Well, I'm not familiar with the background of the New York City lawsuit, but I suspect they had the support of, for example, the New York City ACLU.
I don't know. I think he did it independently. But whatever the case is, I'm on the phone now. I have to wait for the phone to get through.
My wife is saying he cannot walk, okay?
He knows it.
Go ahead.
Anyway, we're getting hassled. She's getting air. Come on, I'm disabled. I have to be this close. I can't walk, mister. From here to there is all I can do. You see what they do to disabled people in this town? And I got to tell you something. I'm a customer in this place.
So what place are you?
I'm at a gas station. I'm at a 76 gas station, Santa Cruz, where I bring my money every single day for gas in this town, and the man is moving me from here.
Now, you've only been on the phone for about 7 minutes.
Well, I was waiting here to get on the phone, but other people came and used the phone in between, and other people are getting gas. He knows I've gotten my car repaired here. He knows I have to bring the phone close to the car close to a phone because I can't walk, mm-hmm. and standing more than a few minutes is difficult, which brings me to another subject. There isn't a single phone in this town, public phone, that is handicap accessible. This should be blued off for handicapped people so that we can get to these phones.
That's
this is one of the few ones in the whole town that I can actually get to.
That's an excellent idea.
Yes. Well, try and get it done. I mean, I'm fighting about three battles right now. Robert told you workers' comp. I've got one against the state.
More hassles.
It's more of a believe me, if you're inconvenienced, try not being able to walk. Very inconvenient. Very. And having to fight your battle for your rights. By the way, I'm on the air with the radio station. They're listening to all of this. Tune in, Free Radio, 96.3. I'm on right now.
So
you'll get some more interesting news about the rights of the less fortunate.
Why don't you give the address of the 76th station?
This is Water Street in SoCal. It's the 76th station.
Mm-hmm.
Who I get my car repaired at, who I get my gas from every day, who I buy my newspapers from. My caregiver does all this for me because I can't. They know it because they see me in a wheelchair here. And it's inconveniencing those people who can walk and who can drive their car. They don't want to turn around and back in. It's too much of an inconvenience.
I see.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, where was I? Back to the Homeless Task Force, which I'm going to be there Tuesday, Robert.
Good.
Regarding the Homeless Task Force, I support what you're saying. And I really have to tell you honestly right now, I'm so shaken, and I can't stand any longer, that I can't give you my positive input, except for one thing I remember. You gave the message in the beginning of the program that you encourage that there should be, and I agree with you, homeless people to be on this task force. But you give a number with a voicemail, leave your number, and they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
How do you get back to a homeless person?
Okay, the way to do that, and it's a very good question, is you have to call during working hours, 9 to 5, on weekdays, and you can get a hold of Ken Cole of the Homeless Services Center.
Oh, I see. Okay, well,
yeah.
I've got to get off the air. I'm My body is collapsing here. I'm really sorry to you and your listening audience that we didn't get to do the constructive talking that I called for.
Please, call again when you can, Eleanor.
Okay, I'll see you Tuesday, and God bless you, and thanks for being there. And you stay right with the truth. We don't need waffling from anybody, and you're going to hear a lot from me on Tuesday.
Hey, good.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Eleanor, a disabled activist who spoke very eloquently at City Council. It is a difficult subject for people to know what to do something about. And, you know, I bet I know who that is. Let's see who that is.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Hey.
You're liking phone calls right after another, huh?
Oh, this is great. I'm glad you're calling in.
I've been listening. The Santa Cruz on the task force issue and filling positions. Right now they're mailing out letters to people that had previous applications.
Are you one of those applicants?
Marilyn and I both had them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time we were employed for the Homeless Community Center, and Ken Cole got the position, you know, that correlates with someone in the field, right, and health workers or whatever. So we didn't get those, but they sent us another letter dated September 1st, where it says, we've received your application for appointment to Homeless Issue Task Force dated April 18, 1999. There are currently two remaining openings on this new task force. City Council will be making appointments within the next few weeks after a sufficient number of applications have been received.
Mm-hmm.
The council appreciates your interest. Do you want to hear? Anyway, it goes on and it says to contact Don Lane.
Yeah.
And 4205142.
That is an answering machine, by the way. And he is the staff person for the Homeless Issues Task Force. Much to my distaste, I suggest that people call instead the vice chair of the task force, who is Ken Cole, because Cole, you might actually get a real person there. And also, frankly, I think Cole is more progressive and activist in his attitudes than Don Lane is, and that's just my personal feeling on it.
I really wouldn't doubt that at all because of everything that has not happened, like you say, and you know, and we know, that everything's been stall, for like 6 years, 7 years, probably longer than that. I've only been
Doug, maybe
it
you can tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the kind of experience you've had working around the Homeless Services Center? And I know you yourself had a real confrontation and had some real problems. Maybe you're not allowed to talk about them, I don't know. But I was rather shocked to hear what happened to you, and I think, you know, you might tell the audience just generally what your experience is. What are the major problems that have to be addressed immediately? And, you know, I guess based on that, how can we proceed?
Actually, I still have a part of a deal going with the Citizens Police Review Board on the 13th. I'm going to go see Becky Blythe Tuesday.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Kelly's
and I find a waiver to not pursue a suit against the Homeless Community Resource Center. They didn't say I couldn't talk about them or whatever.
Now, you were ousted from your house illegally by a police officer at the urging of Karen Gillette, or with the permission of Karen Gillette, previously the Homeless Services Center director? Is that accurate or not?
That's pretty much. They tried. They came and told me I didn't have any rights and this, that, and the other. She had already been by with a couple of other people trying to explain something to me that I'd already contacted, you know, legal advice, you know.
You were a paralegal
working on it.
You were essentially an employee that she wanted to get rid of? Is that the idea?
I really don't know exactly what happened. All I know that she took the story of the other parties as the truth or something. It was relayed as the truth, but it took about a month later for us to get it cleared up because we showed them.
The police did enter into your house and tell you to move, right? Officer Seeley came in and said.
Officer Seeley came and told me I was on my way to my lawyer, and he was explaining to me that I had to make a decision with Karen Gillette, you know, pertaining to further employment there, and I had to make a decision right then, immediately. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't lock my door. I had no rights. And he was like, well, essentially, you know, trying to, you know, be a liaison between me and my employment with his gun and blue uniform and car and everything. I'd heard they'd been to lunch together.
Well, Officer Celia has also acquired notoriety for going after a man who was like 300 yards from the railroad tracks, sitting down trying to, I don't know, drink a beer. And didn't try to get him on an open container charge, but threatened to arrest him for trespass. Actually took him to court, and of course the charges were dismissed last week after a month and a half of anxiety and tension and pressure for that homeless person.
There's a correlation with this action and that. He was going off on his own and making all sorts of things. This right here was totally on his own, and then he lied to the lawyer about it. He was, and I have all that on paper. It'll come out on the 13th. Anyway, but he was telling several people. He all of a sudden started picking on the homeless, explaining to them that it was trespassing to be on the right-of-way of the railroad tracks for a little while, and I hear that he really didn't have any... no one told him to do that. He just kind of took it on his own, and I heard that his duty sergeant, you know, told him to lay off, but he had what... I guess he did pursue it in one instance. He told another friend that I know this. He was telling all the homeless people... they were telling me about it where I worked down there. It's the safest route to Poganip on a bicycle or walking, no matter what, is going down the tracks all the way till you get across and you can go into Rincon.
Well, it wasn't even that this guy was on the railroad right-of-way. He was way off the railroad right-of-way. He was sitting, you know, oh, God. I'm not very good at judging distances, but it was half a block down from the railway in the bushes. He showed me where he was sitting. He showed me where he'd been sitting, and we actually videoed the area. Now, he could have been lying to us, but...
Well, his particular perspective on law is that if he can make you believe it, then, well, you know, that's the real law.
Well, Officer Seeley,
and he attempted that with me, and so we actually said no.
Well, Officer Seeley also, I know, I got another complaint about that. He told another homeless man that walking through that driveway that goes between Coral Street and, you know, the Beans restaurant one block over, the coffee shop, that he harassed him by saying he couldn't be there, and then when he was leaving, he held up a can of carburetor fluid and say, "Hey, you forgot your beer." I mean, I haven't heard that.
I know who he was
talking
about.
Seeley's been disciplined or reprimanded. I guess you're telling me his duty sergeant has done something.
I think it was brake fluid.
Brake fluid. There we go. Well, that's more. That's a little different, I guess. putting the brakes on.
Yeah.
You know, you also, Duggar, I remember you acquired some fame about a year ago when your complaint about the shooting of Brian Andrus was summarily dumped into the trash can by Officer, or should I should say, Chief Steve Belcher. And actually, even the CPRB, which ended up doing nothing anyway in the end, got a little miffed because they're supposed to rubber stamp before they do nothing. And they were denied the chance to rubber stamp. But you brought up this issue rather strongly at that time. The man who was shot four or five times by police, I think at least once in the back when the police invaded his house claiming that he was abusing his wife when no such thing was happening, and they ignored the possibility of a whole bunch of lesser alternatives that they could have used. Instead, they shot him, and then they arrested him and sent him to jail for 4 years for defending his house with an aluminum bat, baseball bat. You brought up that issue. When you tried to complain about it to Police Chief Belcher, he simply dismissed your complaint. He didn't even forward it to the Citizens Police Review Board. So you've done some work in the past of trying to contest police misconduct.
Well, it seems to help. You know, he shot himself in the foot on that one because it seemed to have, like, opened the door a little bit, although I swear I've yet to see anything actually done. Then they swap around the players, you know, if some of the other players start to figure we've got to do something.
What do you think of the new Homeless Services Center? What's your view of Director Ken Cole?
I really think I got a real good opinion of him, and I think, you know, he's got a lot of big, hard job ahead of him. He's got to go back, and instead of just playing everything off the cuff, he's got to go back to doing exactly what's all mandated is to be done there. And then if they need more, it's a long story. But, he's got a tough job. He's got to get it all back in alignment now after it was kind of operated in a...
Well, there were
whatever.
There were a lot of complaints of cronyism under the management of Karen Gillette, and I've still heard a few under Ken Cole's management. What do you think about the problem of cronyism in a place like the Homeless Services Center, the place that where homeless people go to make phone calls and wash their laundry and have a meal at least once a day, kind of one and a half times a day if you count breakfast?
It's bad. You know, everyone there is like in refugee status, and, you know, this is a third world type of political system that arises in everything. It rises at Salvation Army, you'll see it in Goodwill. It's inherent. It's something that has to be addressed, and you have to be really on top of, especially the people in supervisory positions. They have to know that it's going to be there, and they got to keep eye on it, because it just happens. It just crops right up.
Now, have you had any experience with city council, the new city council members? I know I've been, badly disappointed, actually my expectations were not terribly high, but my bad expectations were unfortunately borne out big time by Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar. I even most recently, when I introduced Fitzmaurice to the homeless man who had shots fired over his campsite in June, according to his account, and he was quite calm and I felt relatively rational about it. David Silva was also a witness to this conversation where he reported this to Fitzmaurice, and it wasn't the first time he reported it. The first time he reported it was in a voicemail to Fitzmaurice where I had him speak. He didn't want to speak to police because he felt afraid of it. He didn't want to give his name, but he talked to Fitzmaurice about it. And Fitzmaurice's response was sort of, oh. And I've just seen this kind of dead, oh, I'll look into it, and then nothing ever happens kind of response in the city council endlessly for the last 6 or 9 months under these new council members. I mean, I know that it's a standard, and I suppose I shouldn't be surprised at all, but have you had any experiences one way or the other that you wish to share with us?
Well,
and positive experiences?
Some things that I'm not real sure totally on, but there's something, I swear, you don't want to get into conspiracy, but some of these people, it's almost after they ran for election, then someone came and they were elected, then someone came to their house in the dark of the night and gave them a list of what they were going to do.
Well, so have you...
there's someone controlling it. The largest corporations and...
Well, have you talked to any of the council members in the last 6 months at all? Have you tried to get any kind of action on any particular things and been successful or been unsuccessful?
Well,
you can say no. I still like you.
Other than trying to get on the homeless task force now, there hasn't really, when after
you know,
we didn't get on that.
Regarding this whole thing of the Homeless Issues Task Force, I feel a little embarrassed that I'm wasting so much time on the air talking about this issue. I think they're really not going anywhere. But, because they seem to be one of the few games in town and nobody else is doing any organizing, I talk a lot about them. But what we really need to do, what I've been talking to people about, and I'd like all the activists who are listening to please get in touch with me at the Huff line, which is 423-HUFF, easy to call, is we need to start some, here we go again, regular protests downtown of a colorful and persistent nature. And again, the constant idea I've always had, which I continue to bring up, is a completely legal protest, but one that would get in the hair big time of the merchants, which is to put a big mattress on top of your vehicle, park it legally in front of some store, and just do a protest during the day from there, sleeping and singing, and not that you disturb the peace, but you and picketing and marching, urging people not to patronize downtown businesses until laws that restrict basic human rights, and I'm talking about homeless rights as well, but human rights, the right to sleep, for instance, outside if you have no other recourse, are dealt with. And we don't have, that doesn't mean that we're going to spend years trying to get a little commission to recommend to a bigger group of bozos at the city council that they are going to deal with it. No, we go to the public directly and we say, boycott these bastards until they take their hands off the throats of homeless people. That's what we need to do. And to do that, we need a core group of activists who will put in a couple hours every day with their car, with a couple of mattresses on top of their vehicle, with about five or six other people, essentially making it difficult and letting tourists know that they are supporting businesses that violate human rights. That's been one idea I've had. I'm looking for others, too. If I can find a core of 6 to 8 people to do this, I'm up for it. But again, it depends on whether we can find that. So anybody, what's your thought, first of all, about this idea?
Well, I think actually we need to stop, just like, for instance, 2:30 Wednesday, everyone needs to be down at the farmer's market. That's everyone's farmer's market. That's our farmer's market.
Sure.
And we need to quit, we need to get off some of the polarizations that we have and understand that the city council is being manipulated, by a few business interests. The homeless issue is being manipulated by those same few business interests. There's a lot of problems with what the people are actually wanting, what they voted for, what they expected from their city council, and what they're actually getting. And it's across the board. You can listen to it on other radio stations across the Monterey Bay, and there's a lot of people getting irritated from everything, the Churco to, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ben Churco, the guy was jailed for
215.
And the 215 harassments of medical marijuana people. Well, what I think I may do is I may encourage people to come to this meeting at 5:30 on Tuesday, the Homeless Issues Task Force, for the sleeping ban vote, and then when the vote is over, simply march out to a protest downtown. And I'm talking about a protest that will actually sit itself down somewhere.
Wow, you're supposing that they're going to vote against it?
No, I'm even if they vote
for
it.
What if they vote for it?
Even if they vote for it, we're not.
Let's suppose that way. No, be the 100th monkey. Believe. Hey, ideals can be goals that are achieved instead of just some.
Doug, whatever way they vote makes no difference in terms of how police enforce the law. Tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. I mean, it's nice if they vote for it. I hope they will. In a way, I kind of am expecting they will, although you never can tell, because people love to talk and talk and talk, and they get the idea that that's somehow more important than acting.
Right, it's like ridiculous.
But
it's just like,
even if they vote for it, it's not going to
they want to know more about the issue.
It's not going to make any difference unless we, the activists as an outside force, march downtown and, start doing some colorful theater, maybe have some kind of, I mean, I'm not quite sure how to proceed, because I know people are tired of this, sleep in, sleep out, sleep ons. Sleep arounds are just, they've been done before. But the reality is, sleeping tickets, as I understand it, are coming back. I'm hearing I got a report of at least 3 camping tickets last week from Mike Bustos of the Homeless Services Center. And
yeah, I've been hearing them on the scanner, too.
Really? How many have you heard about?
I've been hearing them. They, all around. Having them check on vehicles, they think it's a camper. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah,
so
blah,
in the
blah.
Last
you never know for sure.
In the last week or two, how many have you heard?
In the last week or two? Probably about 6 or 7.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thinking maybe the thing to do is to, and I'm gonna kind of probably cut this conversation short, see if we can get some more calls, is encourage people to give a call in, see what they think of this idea of a protest starting after the vote on the sleeping ban, and just starting from there and seeing what happens after that. I mean, it's maybe we can provide get some food donated for Tuesday, have a little hot food, maybe to make things a little warm for the merchants downtown, who really, I think, are at the core of this whole process. The politicians are taking their marching orders from a combination of merchants, conservative residents, and certain staffer bureaucrats, including the police department. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Anything more you want to say?
No.
All right, well, then hopefully I'll see you if you show up at that meeting, or if not, I'll see you at the Citizens Police Review Board, which is meeting a week from Monday on the 13th of September at 5:30 on Monday.
Well, we're going to try to be there, that's for sure.
That's great.
And we're going to try to be there, and for sure, I think, you know, need to keep spreading it about 2:30. Tell everyone to be there, 2:30 Wednesday.
And 2:30 Wednesday, right. Yeah. That'll be this Wednesday coming up to support Bob LaMonica at the Farmer's Market, where police declared he could not have a political table in a place where political tables have been standard for 5 years.
Right.
Talk to you more.
Just a second. Marilyn wanted to say something.
Okay.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi. I just wanted to I have one question, and it has cropped up in my mind a lot of times, because we're dealing with homeless issues and poverty issues and all that. It involves human rights, and I really have this question why the ACLU has not involved itself, because it isn't just Santa Cruz, it's nationwide. And I'd just really like to know why they haven't tried to help on this issue.
Well, I can only give you my interpretation, and it has to do with, of course, the specific lawyers and activists who are a part of the local ACLU. Mm-hmm. Some of them are interested in other issues, disabled issues, or develop personal animosities to some homeless activists like Bob Tarrin, who apparently developed a rather invidious hatred of me. Some of them get involved in, you know, a sort of a more conservative aspect of the homeless movement and then give up. Margaret Marr is an example of that. She initially began defending Jay Green for disturbing the peace and other charges, and then got involved with Sherry Connable's Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, and cut off from the rest of the activists, hoping that by a more mild approach she could impress the city council. That didn't work. Actually, she became more radical working with the Coalition for a Citizens Police Review Board, but that board became such an obvious piece of junk that she kind of retired, kind of burnout as part of that. The general reality is the local ACLU is a conservative group that really is not concerned with local issues a lot. I mean, there are some exceptions. They did speak at city council around the downtown ordinances, the laws make it illegal to sit within 10 feet of a shop or ask for money peacefully after dark. They spoke against that, but they represented, several lawyers represented sitting ban cases in 1994 and 95. But since then, I am not aware the ACLU has done anything except one speech at city council against the curfew and along the riverfront, I believe it was, or the youth curfew, one of the two, at city council. They are just moribund. You know, they are not interested. They don't really exist as much of an organization here.
I tried to call them, and I couldn't. They said that I would be able to get a hold of them through a website, but there is no phone number here.
You know, if you call me off air at 423-HUFF, I can probably give you some names of current members, and they could probably set you down. If you want to start, you know, kicking their ass a little, that might be good. But I would, you know, I don't know whether I would want to encourage you to go that way, because I wouldn't tell you to put a lot of energy in there, you know. Because it hasn't worked in the past. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, the future is always new and you never can tell, but so far in the past it's been difficult.
Yeah, I just thought that they would have a little more clout and somehow would really want to be involved in something like this, because it is we're dealing with basic human rights.
You would think so, wouldn't you? In Pacific Grove, the ACLU is involved. In Salinas, the ACLU is involved. In San Jose, I believe the ACLU is involved, and I certainly in Palo Alto and San Francisco, the ACLU is involved, but dear liberal Santa Cruz doesn't seem to be too involved. Maybe they think that the city council is so progressive already, they can just, you know, go to sleep, and they can, because they don't have to sleep outside, right?
Yeah, that's the difference. Well, I'll call you after the show and get the numbers that you said you might have.
423-HUFF, you'll be catching a voice message, and I'll get back to you. Leave me a number you can be reached at. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll do that, because I really would like to pursue that, because that's been a question all along. Why aren't they helping out in this battle to ensure people's basic human rights?
Yep. Thanks a lot, Marilyn.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, 427-3772. We are approaching the last 10 minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is David Silva again.
Hi, David.
I'm a little upset here about the letter that Robert got. McGrath.
Doug got, yeah.
Yeah, that letter was supposed to have gone out to everybody that applied before the task force started meeting, and I've had to, like, get on Catherine's ass and get on Don Lane's ass and get that clear over and over, be promised that over and over again.
You're talking about the letter that said that, you know, you can apply, and we'll come back to you in a couple of weeks for Homeless Issues Task Force vacancies, right?
Well, what disturbs me is that they were supposed to invite all those who had applied to participate, to come and join, to let them know that they were invited, because there were a lot of people that have never volunteered for anything before, and it was a broad-based, wide community representation. And the original letter that you didn't make, it was kind of a shutdown letter. But what really disturbs me, Robert, is that Don Lane is saying that there are two seats vacant. I'm sorry, there's four or five seats vacant.
That's my understanding.
If, because the task force is to be 12 or 13 people. Now, the Downtown Association seat has not been approved yet, even though the person is voting. The homeless seat that was occupied is vacant, and Laura Tucker's seat is vacant. So, you know, I'm not sure that there's six legal voting members, which would mean, you know, to get up to 12 or 13, you need to have, you know, six or seven. But I know there's at least four or five seats that have never been filled.
Right.
So it's very disturbing that letter and the math that's being done. I guess Don Lane, just, you know, when he was told by Catherine to go ahead and send that letter out, they had some other conversation. I guess they were only going to fill two seats and put homeless people on it, and not have a student representative, not have Eastside business representative, not have the broad representation that they had promised, and put all the weight on the few of those that they did pick. I just seems like that's what they precluded, and this is just, I'm just extremely, extremely irritated.
What do you think of the idea, David, of a protest after the 5:30 meeting on Tuesday, when the Homeless Issues Task Force will be meeting at the Civic Auditorium?
I think it's all fine and well. I don't think it can come of much at this point after Labor Day weekend, getting something organized for Tuesday.
Right.
I don't think it can come too much at this point. But it certainly is becoming more and more apparent to me that either Don Lane is slow-witted or Don Lane is playing the game here. You know, I've already had a few fights with him about materials not being ready and about people not being informed of meetings and so forth. But now to actually send a letter out saying that there's two vacancies when, in fact, if you just do simple math, there's four or five, is just outrageous. I think we're going to have to realize that this task force, what it's set up to do is to bring in the community. We do have to have businessmen that are willing to, like, have their parking lots, you know, the thing that they voted with two cars for parking lot. We do have to organize these kind of things and bring the broader community in. And we do have to realize this task force is also to represent the neighborhoods and the people that are impacted by any decisions that are made about regulation of overnight survival sleeping. But and I certainly encourage you to get as many homeless people there and get as many homeless people seated, and the homeless seats are allocated. It's just that I think that every seat is important. The broader the community representation, the more we'll come up with a true solution. And, of course, then we still also have the fact that even if we were to change the sleeping ban law, we were to take the word sleeping out of there, you were talking about a ticket on your show the other night where somebody got a ticket at the wrong time, and then when they decided it was the wrong time, for since it was not sleeping section, they said, oh, it applies to the setting up campsite section. That we have to make sure that the police force doesn't treat a repeal of the sleeping ban exactly the same way.
Yeah, that was the case of Anthony Douglas you're talking about.
Yeah, so we have to realize that, you know, we want the city to repeal the sleeping ban and also to order the independent, autonomous police state police force to also stop enforcing their own laws.
Their own edicts.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was community activist David Silva talking. David, of course, has a wealth of information, and we have a wealth of phone calls.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. It's me again.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Sorry to take up
No,
calls.
No, come on back. Glad to have you on board.
Well, I was just thinking, I kind of missed the caller that called after me, except for some of her last comments, and she was complaining about calling a voicemail and how do you get back to a homeless person.
Right.
So I wanted to give my home phone number, although it's very hard to get me to.
But at least you won't lose your 35 cents.
Right, that's right, which is 459-0837.
459-0837 for Laura Tucker. We're talking to a staff member slash staff member and a task force member, the Homeless Issues Task Force.
And And then also...
Give us that number again.
459-0837.
How late can people call?
Oh, I have my ringer off if it's the wrong time, so just call at 2 a.m. I don't care. You know, sometimes
and
I'm
you,
up. And
you won't lose 35 cents if you call, and unlike the number I gave you before, Ken Cole's number, you can call any time, day or night, a weekend or weekday, right?
And Ken Cole, you can stop in probably, too. I don't know, but
yeah.
I was assuming that. And then also at the last Hot Issues meeting, and this isn't, I guess, been put out to the public yet, but... Nancy Anicito did mention that she wanted to make her, I don't know if she's actually done that or changed her mind or what, but she was talking at the time about making her number public for people to get a hold of as well. And I don't know if she's listed. She represents the Harvey West community, but, you never know. She says that, well, anyway. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was the homeless the seats. I was saying that there's two homeless seats available, but there is actually four or five positions to be filled on the task force, and if I am not to be a task force member, there is five or six.
That's what David Silva was saying, yeah.
Yeah. So
again, the number for people to call if they want to get in touch with you to get information.
459-0837, and I also think that Doug McGrath, Marilyn Weaver, and Donna Dice, really, it's just a no-brainer to get them on there. They've got experience. They're very articulate. They're homeless.
Not to mention Dan
Hopkins. Except for Donna. Donna is from the who?
Dan Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, right. But, you know, Marilyn Weaver and, she's also, we'd have more women on there, and Doug McGrath, you know, their applications have been in there for a long time. And I was going to ask you this question. You know, I don't know if there's any kind of, what criteria do they have to pick and choose? Can they just discriminate against people because they don't want them on from past? You know, like maybe what happened down at the Homeless Services Center for some reason, now they're not getting on the task force. I don't understand why they haven't been
chosen. You know, I don't know actually who makes the choices of the non-council member choices. I suspect there's a process. I'd like to make sure that those of us who are putting some energy into this process, it goes on and on and on, also are aware that what we really want to do is come together in a real process that involves activists doing things outside this
fucking committee. Yeah, well, I totally agree with you there, and I think that your idea,
which is going nowhere at the moment.
Right. With people parking downtown is an excellent idea.
Right. I mean, I would like to see five people volunteer to help David Silva do some monitoring. They get a hell of a lot further than waiting for the Homeless Issues Task Force to figure out its process or to get Catherine Byers to appoint enough people to be on the board.
Yeah.
I mean, I would encourage people, you know, who call you, Laura, to also tell you in your role as a Huff member or as a Huff sympathizer or as a person concerned about homeless rights that, you know, they'd like to help David Silva and, you know, help him form an ad hoc group that'll, you know, work with businesses and actually do something rather than talk about how to work on the issues of someday doing
something. Call back and give his number, too. And also, my voicemail is extension 208 on the Community Action Board. It's just a voicemail.
457-9754, extension 208 for Laura Tucker. And if you've missed any of these numbers, I will try to put them on my message machine, though that may not be till Tuesday or so.
You know what else you should do is
at 423 Huff.
Put Free Radio Santa Cruz number on there, too.
There's a number.
Because they're not listed. So I had to call around to get it.
Good point. Okay, I will have to make a note of that.
Anyway,
anything
just
more
an
you
idea.
Want to say?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Laura.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we are winding our way toward the end of the infamous Bathrobe Spears Broadsides show. I want to thank you for being with us. Have a couple minutes left, but this is just about the end. So if you got anything to say, you better, as they say, smoke 'em now. Smoke 'em or choke 'em. That's where we're at. This is a show that will return on Thursday from 6 in the evening to 8 at night. We're concerned with civil rights for the homeless. Right now it sounds like we're concerned with bureaucracy for the homeless, and I apologize. It looks like they have successfully sidelined us for at least a while, but, you know, we're not giving up here, though it may sound like we're getting entangled in the barbed wire bureaucracy, and we are, of course. That's what happens. Other upcoming items that might be of interest to folks, and this is bureaucratically speaking, there's the Crone Crapper Commission, or Bathroom Task Force, and maybe, you know, I don't know if Eleanor can bring her concerns about telephones for disabled people to this group. Probably not, but that's happening from 10 to 12 on Wednesday, September 8th, room 202,
the Public Works Department down at City Hall. I believe that on September 9th at 7 p.m., the Loudon-Nelson video to serve and protect about police abuse in Santa Cruz is going to be shown again, but I'm not entirely sure on that issue, and I'll be giving you more information at the next show when I will be joining you 6 to 8 on Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I will definitely be at the Homeless Issues Task Force, hopefully looking for some recruits and trying to pay as little attention as possible to the bullshit and as most attention as possible as I can to actually seeing us pressing for real action, real community organizing. And I do appreciate all you've called in today. I hope that you join Bob LaMonica at 2:30 on Wednesday at the Farmers Market to, and again, I'm afraid it's going to be more of a, you know, police suddenly evaporate, but that's good. The police evaporate, that's good, but show Bob your support. He's the man who's had to suffer the pressure from the police department for simply exercising the constitutional rights that the rest of us take for granted. And when they start putting pressure on one of us, then we better be there, or when one of us collapses, you can bet it will affect all of us. So give a call to Bob LaMonica at his phone number, which I believe is 457-2670, if you want to get more information or help him either with the rent control stabilization initiative. If you want help with who are usually sidelined until 5 or 10 minutes after their starting time to get in here and actually do their show a little early. So you're going to hear their starting music in a moment. Thank you for being with me, and give me a call off air at 423-HUFF if you've got thoughts, accounts of police misconduct, ideas for strategy or whatever, jokes, weird notions. Call me up. Thanks a lot.